3, 2, 1.
What's up, everybody? This is Mike.
What's up? What the fuck?
What's up, everybody? My name is Tai Maisu.
Oh, shit. My name is Tai Maisu. How did it go after that?
I don't remember.
For a little freestyle.
What's up, everybody? This is Tai Maisu. I'm here today to give you a little bit of freestyle.
Dude, I used to know that. All right. You want to start this piece?
What are y'all talking about?
You don't know anything, so don't worry
about
it.
Definitely not that. That was like a downloaded link.
You don't know what a Nintendo is.
That was an MP3 you had to get.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
All right, yeah, go.
What's up, everybody? This is Mike McGoldrick here with Mike McElroy, Kurt Mulliken, Alex Macklin, and CTP. We're here to talk about episode 2 of our brand new series, Full Depth. If you haven't checked it out yet, just aired on barbellshrug.com. Go check it out. This is Talking Depth. Oh, yeah. All right. So we're back. New episode of Talking Depth. Very excited. We just watched episode 2. Great ending. Everything about it blew me away. I got some notes here that I can't wait to talk about. Last time we saw...
Little nod to David Bowie there.
Oh, man. I mean, it teared me up a little bit. That's one of my
favorite songs. That was an emotional ending, for sure.
Epic ending, Charlotte.
That's one of my favorite songs by far. I listened to that right before I got married.
Powerful.
Well, the marriage is still going, so you know it's working.
So, anyways, last episode.
I like how both of these have started with cool stories. Like the marriage and the moon buggy.
The moon buggy wasn't a cool story.
It kind of.
You guys are too kind.
What were you saying a minute ago? What are we about to do?
Space bukkake, your mangina?
Oh, my gosh.
I had to make up saying.
Yeah, we're off to a good start. So, episode 2, some of the notes that I wrote down, things that came to my attention that I wanted to bring up and chat about were some of the internal things that go on. So, I mean, we talked more about strength loss and bone density loss the last episode, but, you know, they make it sound like, oh, like, you know, we're going to get them in better shape when they come back to town and then, you know, just get them moving around a little bit better. But, like, the vestibular issues they brought up, the vision – that was pretty interesting, which honestly to me sounds way more scary than anything. Like if I'm not very strong for a little while or I need to, you know, work on bone density a little bit, like that's fine. I could probably handle that. But if I can't see right, that's going to probably change my goals of going into space.
Yeah. Did they say how long that lasts? I forgot.
What, the blurred vision?
Right? The depth perception?
Oh, the depth perception.
I think it was temporary. Actually, I was reading an article a while ago. It was this astronaut named Chris Hadfield.
He has a great book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
Everybody
it called?
Check it out. I don't remember the title of it, but it's fucking cool.
Yeah. So he actually experienced like coming back and couldn't see, like blurred vision. And they were talking about like the intracranial pressure because in space, you're in this like state of weightlessness and free fall. Normally, what would happen is that the blood would pool in your lower body, your lower extremities, but because you don't have gravity, that actually causes blood to go more into the head. And so that increases pressure in the skull. And so that can cause like pressure on the optic nerves. And then that can lead to damage of the nerves, like damage of the eyes, like the retinas and all that stuff. And that can cause like temporary blindness or blurred vision.
Yeah. You're getting a brain pump.
Yeah, you're getting a brain pump while you're out there, but it's not.
Which
I mean,
it's not healthy.
It's not healthy. Like you're not supposed to have a whole lot of like pressure in the brain because you know you can actually. I mean, that can actually put you into a dangerous situation. So
right.
That was something I did not know until like I read that article a while ago about that astronaut getting blurry vision.
Right. I didn't think because of gravity. I assume blood is, like you said, it's not really evenly distributed throughout our body, but when you're up in space, it's a little different.
Right. I mean, that's what I was saying in the last episode that we discussed is that, you know, gravity we're not meant to be in space at all. Like, we're not. That's not what our bodies are designed
for.
It's not
our habitat.
No, it's not at all. Like,
and I wrote that word down. I really wanted to say it later.
And I mean, so yeah, I mean, even if you look at in this episode, they talked about a lot of the design of the suit and how, you know, it's basically a mini spacecraft because, you know, you have to recreate the environment that is sustainable for life in that
it's
tiny
a portable
suit.
Environment.
Yeah, it's a portable environment.
And so, it's a porta potty too.
Yes.
We learned that.
Yeah,
you apparently, I had to ask.
I mean, everybody was thinking it. Like, yeah. You know, when do you take a dump?
What was Stone Cold astronaut's name again?
Robert. And that that dude was the coolest guy on the planet. I was telling y'all earlier. He was just awesome. Like, seeing how he interacted with all the people he worked with too, you could just tell he was like, everybody fucking loves that guy. Mm-hmm. He's just full of shit in all the best ways possible. always laughing, always smiling. Like, I would love to just get breakfast with that dude like once a week.
He looked pretty serious, man. He looked like serious business.
He knows his shit, and I don't know if he'll make this in like some bonus stuff, but he won an award for so NASA gives out the Snoopy Awards, which is like their highest award.
Snoopy?
Yeah, it's called the Snoopy. I forget why they chose it. There's a whole reason. And
was
all
it
that.
Snoopy in space?
I forget.
Wasn't there like a Snoopy?
I don't
like
want to say it wrong and look like a retard, but he won one of those, which is kind of
or there was a dog in
super
space.
Prestigious to have. But anyway, cool dude, smart as hell. But we could have gotten anybody when we went and did this interview. You know, in the morning when we got there, we didn't know who we were gonna get. You know, it could have been some like, you know, we just assumed to be like some nerdy push your glasses up. Like NASA, you know, we didn't know who we were going to get. And then we fucking got that dude. And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. He could make fart jokes and he was laughing about it and would play along for sure.
Oh my gosh. He was awesome.
Made it way more entertaining. And, you know, this, I've always respected astronauts in space and it's always been an interesting topic, but it's not necessarily high on the radar of cool factor.
Yeah, which is weird, right?
Right. I mean, because it's very cool stuff, but. Why is it that, you know, why is it that way?
Well, what's funny is we all went to, you know, you saw in the footage, we were all at Worlds. All of us in this room were there. And I, you know, during that, we got a picture with WWF wrestler, strongman, Mark Henry, big dude, sexual chocolate for anyone watching back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then also NBA Hall of Famer.
Dikembe
Mutombo.
Yeah.
Nope. And what's funny is like, that's going to get the most likes of all the ones we got. But I took a picture with the astronaut while we were there.
I know.
And it's like, that's so much more rare and so cooler. But like, no one thinks, like you were just alluding to, it's not like a.
Didn't you say that was the guy that fixed the telescope?
Yeah, he fixed the Hubble. Like, okay, here's a picture with Mark Henry, which no disrespect to Mark Henry. Like, actually, what's funny is if you look at the picture with me and Mark Henry, I think of any picture I've ever taken in my life, I have the biggest smile just hugging Mark Henry. But that dude fixed the Hubble telescope. And, like, how cool is that? Like, the thing that you see all the crazy pictures of the galaxy, he just went up there and fixed it.
That was incredible. The fact they get out there in those suits outside of the spaceship.
Yeah, that was the like, perspective.
Connected by one little tether. Like, that's all that's holding them from just floating.
I mean, you've seen it, you've seen pictures of it, but for some reason that perspective when you can see the Earth round and then just nothing but black behind it and you just see this dude just floating, almost like that's the perspective that almost freaks me out. Everything else, like you're in a spaceship, you feel kind of contained and held down by gravity. And then you're out there and nothing is holding you, right? Yeah, you just go forever. That freaks me out. It gives me makes my palms sweaty.
So I don't know if we said this in the dialogue, I can't remember that Chris does, which, by the way, that dude was born for that job, in my opinion. That dude's so great at doing those little overdubs. And actually, just to give him a nod of the hat here, those things take a fucking long time. You can't just be like,
great
it
narration.
It takes forever to come up with just the right punchy thing to say. So. Just for us to do this stupid little intro for this show, it took 100 times. So
maybe not born for that.
But
job.
So not that I had to Chris, which he has a huge part in this show too, by the way. So just want to give a big shout out. Like,
I mean, of course, him. Go ahead.
I got on a tangent. But what I was going to say is, I don't know if we said during one of his monologues, but when you saw the astronauts on that, I don't know what you call it, but when they were setting up to be put in the water, you know, they didn't have the suits on when they got there. They were put on, so basically they were standing in this thing that holds them upright, and then piece by piece they were putting on the suit. And that was, man, it was at the very least 40 minutes. It was and I don't know if he said it on there, but it could have very well been an hour, and it's just a whole bunch of people sitting there helping them putting on, making sure everything's
just
right.
There still.
And the astronaut, yeah, they're just standing, like, they're not really talking, you know, it's not like they're having a, you know, shooting the shit with their homies, it's just like, and what you learn is, like, those guys just have to have an insane amount of patience.
Patience.
Well, to me, that looked just, like, so game day, you know, like, they were in the suit, straight face, like, everything was super serious. They're cranking these suits down. There's all these tools. It takes an hour. Mm-hmm. And then they're basically just being, like, submerged in this water and to practice for space, you know.
How cool is that?
Yeah, like.
Well, you know, the one guy you talked about, it took him 9 years to actually fly.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess there were some mishaps in between, which is usually a longer period of time than most people would get. But
He was saying otherwise he would have been, like, 3 to 4 times.
To relate it to training and, like, how you would assume, like, I'm like, man, these guys, like, aren't they miserable? Like, doesn't this get boring at some point? But maybe if you look at that from the perspective when you talk to, like, an elite athlete who's training and you're like, don't you get tired of going to the gym every single day? Most of the time they're going to be like, no, I don't. Like, this is what I love, because they're just after that goal. Like, they don't care.
Big mission.
Yes, that is the mission. They are, like, getting there, and they are just chasing, and no, it does not feel like work to them.
Right.
I'm not saying it's the exact same,
you can understand. A lot of parallels.
Well, I think that goes back to what you were saying, like, about, we have this photo with Mark Henry, like, we saw Dikembe Mutombo, like, all this stuff is so cool, and then, you know, like, maybe people won't see the astronaut thing as cool as Mark Henry, but, like, as an adult, you kind of just, like, live through your experiences. Like, you have this means to an end in your head all the time. When you're a kid, space is this thing that you just think about, and you can't fathom it, you can't understand it, and you just spend so much time, like, discovering or just thinking about it. And, like, I feel like those guys never left that. Like, they're always discovering, and just like the world's best athletes, you know, they're always reaching into every corner of discovery and just, they don't have this concept, like, this perceived end. There's no means to an end there.
Right.
Yeah. I have so much gratitude for this, because, you know, like, NASA to me in space travel and setting big missions and goals like this is a sign of, like, you know, it's an icon of chasing goals. Like, it's like setting a goal and chasing it down and actually sticking to it, even if it's not possible. Like, tell me the guy's name again at the end.
Robert Knight, I believe.
Talking about fixing.
Wait, no, wrong.
Yeah.
Talking about fixing the telescope. He brought it up, and all the astronauts are like, that sounds impossible, and they did it. You know, so, like, if we give up that kind of thing, like, if we don't chase down these kind of goals and, like, have that vision, you know, we stop living.
Right.
Like, you've got to continuously push the limits and continuously raise the bar. And, like, to me, NASA is that icon. Like,
we always talk about, like, loving yourself and picking a goal for yourself and not letting other influences tell you can't do that.
Right.
You know, you can't go to regionals. You can't lose this amount of weight. You can't do this or that or whatever. And these guys are, like you said, like, the epitome of that, because, you know, most everybody wants to be an astronaut. I probably wasn't in that category, but most everybody thought about that.
You probably didn't know they were out there. Too busy playing outside.
What's an astronaut?
At some point along the road, somebody told them you can't do that. Mm-hmm. But these guys didn't listen to them, and they kept going. And when they got presented with the opportunity to fix the telescope, they were like, all right, we'll take on the challenge and we'll do it.
Amazing.
No matter what people put in front of us.
Yeah, I feel like NASA is definitely a giver of no fucks.
For sure. Another cool thing, too, they talked about when the psychological side of it. So coming down from that peak, right? So you spend years and years and years building up to that point. And then what? Do you have a plan after that? And he talked about how some of them actually have trouble with that. So, I mean, you spent your whole life trying to be an astronaut and go into space. And then when you're back, maybe you're done. Who are you then? Like, you've done it. You're still an astronaut.
Right.
But what after that? What are you actually dedicating your life to?
Yeah, I've heard. I can't remember if it was a Navy SEAL that was actually talking about this or who it was. But they were talking about the you know, when people come back from war, it's not so much what they struggle with. It's not so much about what they saw over there, because people, you know, here see loved ones die and stuff. And so it's not. And, yeah, they die in different ways over there, but it's not necessarily that they're struggling with. It's the struggle with finding their mission again. Mm-hmm. So when they're your Navy SEAL or whatever you are, especially an astronaut, you have a very specific mission, and that's the only thing you're focused on. When you wake up in the morning, that's your mission. And then they get back here, and it's like, all right, now what am I here for?
And it's so easy, too, in those kind of situations, war and I'm sure in space, just to be so in the present.
Right.
It's such a rush. Yeah. It's such a crazy feeling, and it, you know, you're in the present, you're living in the moment probably a lot. And I think just like you alluded, that it might not just be the space or the war, but it's just like, how do you get back to that, you know, kind of like going on like a first date? You know, it's always that novel feeling because you're usually present because you're not like going to just be texting, ignoring your first date or whatever. But it's, so it's probably a lot to do with that as well.
And people around you are just like, yeah, lay back, like wake up, eat some breakfast, like chill for a little while. You've been in space forever. And they're like, that's what they live off of.
Well, on top of the fact that, you're in fucking space. Like, that's cool.
With them, like, that's their job, but that's their purpose. You know, they're living
so much
their
deeper
purpose.
Than a job.
And here, you know, Ted in accounting, like, that's not his fucking purpose, you know? That's not his purpose. He's got something bigger, but.
Yeah. I mean, you can see that nowhere on the level of being an astronaut or in the military and, you know, going to war, but you see that with a lot of athletes. Like, they reach the big goal that they've chased after, and then after that, it's like, oh, shit, I didn't really think past that point. What do you do now? And then,
how did you handle that? You got tough. You worked all your career going to the games?
I didn't ever think about past it, honestly. Yeah. Once I hit it, I was like, I don't know what to do now. Maybe I'll try and go back again. I don't know. But it's not the same. You know, like, it's absolutely not the same purpose.
Well,
so,
how do you feel after the games? What, like, where could
honestly,
you put us back in those
like,
shoes?
Check. Like, yeah, so it was a build up, years and years and years of work, and then you achieve it, and then after that, it was honestly, I think I'll just continue to try that because that's who I am, but it's definitely not the same. You don't have the same drive. You don't have the same passion and purpose. Athletes are the same way. This is me personally. But
I think Rich has even talked about, though, with him winning, like they ask him how he goes right back into training, and he's like, winning and just, like, going is so temporary. Like, you stand on the podium one day, and then the next day, it's like, all right, 364 days till the next time.
Yeah.
So it's so temporary.
Yeah, so that might have been a mistake I made, is that I didn't really think past that point, because honestly, you just get so consumed in achieving that goal. But once you get past that, I mean, maybe it's definitely worth me looking into, but it could also slow you down.
I think on one hand, though, like you just said, it might slow you down. I think to achieve that kind of greatness and achieve that kind of
thank you.
High time mission, I mean, it is.
No, for real.
I mean, to achieve something like that, it takes 100% focus, and you can't be distracted by other things going on.
What ifs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I think same thing happened to me is like, unlike most of the guys in the room, I didn't play a lot of sports growing up, and like I wasn't athletic. I trained until I was like 23-ish. And I think that might have a direct correlation that when I was 5, played flag football, we won the championship game. So,
being the top pizza delivery guy?
And I didn't know what to do with my life after that.
Yeah, ever since downhill since then.
Yeah. So, I took a lot from this one. And the first one was more technical. You know, we talked more strength conditioning. This one was more, to me, psychological. And for one, I just obviously like, seeing how important it is that when you what your body goes through when you leave your natural habitat like that, when you go up there, and it's just things you take for granted here, how easily adapted we are to this world, and then you go up there in space for a couple of days, months, whatever, and things just go freaking crazy, right? And then another thing too that I had a huge amount of appreciation for was how these astronauts / athletes handle taking that coming down from that peak. You know, like, do they make it their new mission now to help people, to coach, to, you know, provide support for the up-and-coming astronauts? That's pretty cool. And then, of course, you know, I have so much gratitude for Charlotte and Chris for making this a message to me that met me where I was at in terms of how I viewed this subject.
Yeah, because thing that stuck out to me at the end was – I'm sorry, finish.
Yeah, no, that was pretty much it. Just thank you for, you know – making it really cool all over again.
Yeah.
For me, it stuck out at the end when he was talking about, like, how much they have going on there and, like, about being on Mars relatively soon and things like that, and saying, like, I think, you know, when we were landing on the moon for the first time and everything, everybody was thinking about NASA and whatnot. Now everybody's kind of forgotten about it, and to no surprise, I'm definitely one of those who, like, I don't even think about that right now, like, what's going on there. But he brought that to attention. There's not only is there a little bit that's getting out to the media, but there's so much more going on there than even the media knows that's coming up.
Right. That's right.
that was the right answer, Mike. Good job.
I think we just kind of get blind to it, you know? Like, I know in, like, Facebook feeds, that's kind of, like, where you get most of the news now, right? And you'll see, like, NASA things, new things coming out, like water on Mars, and periodically you'll see something cool, like they passed Pluto recently, some photos. But, you know, the hype isn't quite there.
What other sources could people check out that maybe watch this and have a whole new interest in space and NASA and, you know, astronauts? Like, what are some cool things they can check out? Like, for me, one of the coolest things that got me interested in the first place was Neil's show.
Oh, Cosmos.
The redone versions of Cosmos.
And there's a there's a book over there that I think everybody should read. The second one down.
Rolling your eyes at me.
Death by Black Hole. And that's Neil deGrasse Tyson's book, a collection of essays that are really fucking cool and fun to read. That's my recommendation.
Well, I don't know about any of you guys, but I have had astronaut ice cream.
Yeah.
In a bag?
Yeah. Apparently they don't eat it, but you know, when you're a kid.
You got it from the gift shop?
Hell yeah. Science museum, dude.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Pretty fun.
Hell yeah. Last thing I want to say is just again another tip of the hat. I think I said this after we were off air for episode one. Mm-hmm. To Charlotte for the way she edited this, like
beautiful.
We, like I alluded to, there was tons of hours of footage and she had to sit down and like she wasn't there, like I had mentioned, so she had to sit down and like watch it all and pull a story out, and I thought she did a fantastic job of like tying things together along with Chris's monologues, like it kept it entertaining. And
yeah, I was engaged the whole time.
That's a tough job to do for a one person team, so props.
Yep. You guys want to add anything else?
Alex is back on the mic. Here, Alex, take us away with something that's just really going to bring us home.
No pressure.
No pressure.
And you can't, no retakes.
I want to hold on. I will say this too. I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there.
You got a lot to say.
I want to get. I want to get a DEET shirt in space.
Yeah, that's.
I'm gonna send all the astronauts some DEET shirts.
I mean, they would look. Make they look like they were lifting in like beefy tees up there. Man.
I will fly to Houston to witness the first DEET session. Yeah. I want to be there for the remote coaching call.
Yeah. Pretty cool. All right, Alex. You had a second to think about it.
I'm sorry. I'm
you're speechless.
Right
I get
now.
It. You're absolutely speechless.
Right.
Speechless. Blown away.
Right.
Mind blown. My mangina is blown.
All right.
This is ground control.
Cool. We done?
I thought you were going to start singing with me. We're done. Oh, am I sitting
take care.
Thanks for listening,
peace,
guys.
Peace, guys.